Continuing Helen Wright's book, America, Cradle for the Second Coming of the Christ.
Regarding mind as both noumenon and phenomena, Mrs. Eddy writes, quote, "To begin with a divine noumenon, mind, and to end with a phenomenon, matter, is minus divine logic and plus human hypotheses, with its effects sin, disease, and death. It was in this dilemma that revelation, uplifting human reason, came to the writer's rescue, when calmly and rationally, though faintly, she spiritually discerned the divine idea of the cosmos and science of man." Unquote. America's religious history inspired. As we have seen, America was divinely prepared as a cradle to receive the second coming of the Christ, to receive the reappearing of Christ's Christianity, the science of being. The divine event of the Christ science was prophesied by the prophets and by Jesus, and adumbrated throughout the Bible's pages. Elaine Bramwell Loudon of Portland, Oregon, has done extensive research on the subject of woman in the Bible and its prophecy of the second coming of the Christ. The mission of Christ science is to bring about the awareness that in reality all people are united in the design of God. America is not a material place or country. It must be understood spiritually as a divine idea. Quote, "Historical portions of the Bible are not more inspired than the history of the United States." Unquote. Mary Baker Eddy in Mind Healing. We are therefore loyal to this country only in proportion to our loyalty to principle. Because of what America stands for as a spiritual idea, its citizens have a special obligation imposed upon them. We must recognize that the mission of America is spiritual, not material. That it is principle which individualizes man and nations, since God is individual mind, individual divine consciousness. What makes individual freedom a purely spiritual experience? Is it not escaping from the basic misconception that there is life, truth, intelligence, and substance in matter, and freedom from the illusion, the universal hypnotic suggestion, that evil and inharmony are real? We cannot help other nations preserve their freedom if we do not preserve our own. Our strength lies in the radicalism of science, which is destined to bring to view the kingdom of heaven on earth. The terrible chemicalization witnessed today is simply error appearing more aggressively as its nothingness is exposed. Quote, "The higher truth lifts her voice, the louder will error scream." In moral chemicalization, when the symptoms of evil, illusion, are aggravated, we ought to know that God's law uncovers so-called sin and its effects, only that truth may annihilate all sense of evil. Unquote. This is the way Christian science brings sin and sickness to the surface, forcing impurities to pass away. A lie has only one chance of successful deception, and that is to be accounted true. Again, Mrs. Eddy writes, "Error, when found out, is two-thirds destroyed, and the remaining third kills itself." It is the truth in Mrs. Eddy's writings that is exposing error of every nature and destroying it. Christian scientists are grateful that matter and materiality are today beginning to be seen as pure illusion. They are grateful that the error of loving and fearing matter is being exposed. They know the lie is being brought to an end in direct proportion to its exposure. This nation can only fulfill its purpose and be of service to mankind as its citizens obey the teachings of Christian science. When Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy were present on earth, they held uncomplaining guard over the world. Mrs. Eddy admonished Christian scientists, "Be a law to yourselves. Our work is to actually establish self-government in order that divine principle, love, not mortal mind or personal sense, becomes the basis of our thinking. Like Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, we must live and speak as principle, letting divine good be all. And this all will then express and manifest itself as man. Principle and its idea are not two, they are one. I and my Father are one, said Jesus. Infinite good, conscious of itself, is man, is what is called man in Christian Science. This science has come to educate the human mind out of itself. The human mind thinks man is something separate from God. Christian Science teaches there is but one real selfhood, and that is infinite good, which is the selfhood of every individual. This will be seen when, through spiritual education, the structure of our consciousness becomes one with the structure of reality. This oneness takes place as all evil, error of every kind, is rooted out of consciousness. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Of old, the children of light were told to go in and possess the land which the Lord had given them. What is the land which the Lord had given them and has given to us, to every individual on earth? It is the kingdom of God within our individual, infinite spiritual consciousness, constituted of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, which constantly reflects itself, manifests itself as what is called man. We take possession of this land as we rid the human consciousness of all that is unprincipled, ungodlike. The following remarkable vision of Julia Ward Howe was published in the July 18, 1908 Christian Science Sentinel. Its title, But Their Eyes Were Holden, no doubt refers to the general public's unawareness that the very condition Mrs. Howe saw as a possibility for the future was actually an accomplished fact through Christian Science. That the unnumbered thousands healed and regenerated in Christian Science constituted the vast host, as seen in her vision, quote, "One night, I recently experienced a sudden awakening. I had a vision of a new era which is to dawn for mankind, and in which men and women are battling equally, unitedly, for the uplifting and emancipating of the race from evil. I saw men and women of every clime working like bees to unwrap the evils of society, and to discover the whole web of vice and misery, and to apply the remedies, and also to find the influences that should best counteract evil and its attending suffering. There seemed to be a new, a wondrous, ever-permeating light, the glory of which I cannot attempt to put into human words, the light of the newborn hope and sympathy blazing. The source of this light was born of human endeavor, immortal purpose of countless thousands of men and women who were equally doing their part in the worldwide battle with evil, and whose energy was bended to tear the mask from error, crime, superstition, greed, and to discover and apply the remedy. I saw men and women standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder, a common, lofty, and indomitable purpose, lighting every face with a glory not of this earth. All were advancing with one end in view, one foe to trample, one everlasting good to gain. I saw them advancing like a mighty army, laden with the fruits of their research, their study, their endeavor, in this battle with the powers of darkness, and ready to tear vice from the earth, to strip away all of selfishness, greed, and rapine. Then I seemed to see them stoop down to their fellows and lift them higher, higher, and yet higher. Men and women, a vast host, whom none could number, working unitedly, equally, with superhuman energy, all for the extirpation of the blackness of vice and for the weal of the race. And then I saw the victory. All of evil was gone from the earth. Misery was blotted out. Mankind was emancipated and ready to march forward in a new era of human understanding, all-encompassing sympathy and ever-present help. The era of perfect love, of peace passing understanding. This was originally printed in the Boston Sunday American of June 28, 1908. In Julia Ward Howe's vision, the veil which obscures the ever-present millennium was lifted, as Mary Baker Eddy had already, in actual practice, been lifting it for 42 years. Chapter 19. Man is, not shall be, perfect and immortal. Mrs. Eddy's discovery of reality, that good alone is real and evil is unreal, is destined to transform human consciousness and bring its structure in line with reality. The would-be Christian Scientist is required to yield up deeply entrenched personal inclinations, to place the demands of divine science before any other commitment. His commitment must be to the ultimate truth, which is not shaped by his preference, but by divine being itself. Infinite good is the final power to which the human, in the single-minded pursuit of truth, prays, "Not my will, but thine be done." Quote, "Oh, sometimes gleams upon our sight, through present wrong, the eternal right. And, step by step, since time began, we see the steady gain of man." Unquote. John Greenleaf Whittier. We take courage in knowing that whatever happens, all is working towards the optimization of good, as it further and further minimizes the illusion of evil and matter, and brings to view the Christ man you have always been, the man that is, not shall be, perfect and immortal. There is no evil. The divine principle, love, is always ever-present and in full and unrestricted operation. Therefore, there is no evil. Divine principle is in operation no matter how blinded mortals seem to be by the veil of universal hypnotic suggestions and illusions that appear to be reality. The divine principle is in operation no matter how deceived and befooled we may be by materiality, apathy, ignorance, or hate. We need only become aware of the truth that, quote, love cannot be deprived of its manifestation or object. Love never loses sight of loveliness. Let us then shape our views of existence into loveliness, freshness, and continuity, unquote. Love is wedded to its own spiritual idea now, not at some future date. This wedding of love to its idea, besides which there is nothing else, assures our salvation. It only awaits our realization and recognition. Christian Science lifts human consciousness into the millennium. Had Mrs. Eddy's divinely directed manual been obeyed, it would have prevented the seven last plagues from descending upon humanity. It would have removed the obstruction hiding from view the already existing Church universal and triumphant, and would have ensured its coming into focus. The disobedience will be seen. It cannot forever hide divine love's great plan for the redemption and universal salvation of the human race. The manual obeyed will bring about the individual understanding of the ever-present millennium. The textbook is within our consciousness. Because God is individual mind, all that mind God has is ours, including the textbook. The textbook of Christian Science is within our individual spiritual consciousness. When we read it understandingly, it is not that we are getting something from the outside. It is not that we are learning something from a book. Rather, it is that we are recognizing what we already know. what we already have and are. This is why Mrs. Eddy could ask, "When will mankind awake to know their present ownership of all good?" If we heed the biblical injunction, "Be still and know that I am God," that I am, that I am, that is God, we will find salvation is ever present. It only awaits our recognition. Heaven is here. It is within our individual, infinite, spiritual consciousness. The Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's writings reveal it. It is up to us to practice it, so the ever-present millennium comes to light and is recognized and realized. Of the millennium, on which Mrs. Eddy lifted the curtain during her 44-year teaching career, and on which her writings continue to lift the curtain, she wrote, "The millennium is a state and stage of mental advancement, going on since ever time was. Its impetus, accelerated by the advent of Christian Science, is marked, and will increase till all men shall know Him, divine love, from the least to the greatest, and one God and the brotherhood of man shall be known and acknowledged throughout the earth." Unquote. The impetus of the millennium is marked and accelerated by the advent of Christian Science, which is loosening from millions of individuals the fetters of sin, disease, and discord of every nature as it ushers in science and the glorious facts of creation. Science teaches us the true idea of good, and abiding in this we lose all sense of evil and so are being ushered into the undying realities of spirit. Chapter 20. Disobedience to Mrs. Eddy's manual brought plagues. Mrs. Eddy warned her students of the disastrous consequences of reorganizing after she had dissolved the material church organization in 1889. When the students failed to heed this warning, which she said came from God, she prayed day and night for an answer. The answer came in the form of a manual, which she steadfastly maintained was just as divinely dictated as was Science and Health. The manual enabled her to frame the church in such a way that it would be a self-dissolving symbol and not become an ecclesiastical counterfeit. The manual made the First Church of Christ Scientist, Boston, a branch church at her passing, with a legal 4-member self-perpetuating board to govern. It had no control over any other church than the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston. The 5-member ecclesiastical board was not self-perpetuating. It required Mrs. Eddy's approval and consent to fill a vacancy on it. Therefore, when a member of that board died in June 1912, that ecclesiastical board could not continue. It henceforth could only act as provided in the manual's deed of trust, shown on pages 128 to 135 of the manual. Christian Scientists, be a law to yourselves that mental malpractice cannot harm you, either when asleep or when awake. When each Christian Scientist accepts Christ Jesus' teaching that the kingdom of God is within you, and each individual reflects the motherhood of love within himself, what need is there to look to 5 persons in Boston for an ecclesiastical authority external to himself? Mrs. Eddy saw that organization wars with love's spiritual compact, and that the real Christian compact is love for one another. In Unity of Good, Mrs. Eddy writes, "Hourly in Christian Science, man weds himself with God, or rather he ratifies a union predestined for all eternity. But evil ties its wagon load of offal to the divine chariots, or seeks to do so, that its vileness may be christened purity, and its darkness get consolation from borrowed scintillations." Unquote. When ecclesiasticism tied its wagon load of disobedience and misinterpretation to Mary Baker Eddy's God-dictated manual, it obscured from view the church universal and triumphant which she had founded in human consciousness. Ecclesiasticism's violation and non-compliance with Mrs. Eddy's manual, directives, has obscured mankind's understanding of the omnipresence of present perfection. This, in turn, has resulted in the deep crisis, the dire peril, that today faces the Christian Science movement and our entire nation, indeed, the entire world. When Mrs. Eddy's manual, which contained estoppel clauses dissolving the material organization at her passing, was not obeyed, a mist went up in fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy to St. John, set forth in chapters 13 to 20 of the book of Revelation. This mist, resulting from disobedience, has, for more than three quarters of a century, hindered the great redemptive work that Mary Baker Eddy's writings are destined to accomplish for the race. The sin of ecclesiasticism that is today refusing to recognize Mrs. Eddy's 13 deeds of trust, which make obedience to the manual legally obligatory, the sin that is pillorying those who are insisting Mrs. Eddy's deeds of trust be honored, this sin will be uncovered and summarily dealt with by divine justice. In Message for 1900, page 10, Mrs. Eddy admonishes, "Success in sin is downright defeat. Hatred bites the heel of love that is treading on its head. All that worketh good is some manifestation of God asserting and developing good. Evil is illusion, that, after a fight, vanisheth with the new birth of the greatest and best. Conflict and persecution are the truest signs that can be given of the greatness of a cause or of an individual, provided this warfare is honest and a world-imposed struggle. Such conflict never ends until unconquerable right is begun anew and hath gained fresh energy and final victory." Vindication of Mrs. Eddy's deeds of trust will usher in a renaissance. Thus today, the possible solution to the Church's problem brightens the horizon. Mrs. Eddy's 13 deeds of trust are being raised from the tomb in which they have lain buried for over three quarters of a century. As touched upon earlier, 10 of these deeds make obedience to the manual's estoppel clauses mandatory, terminating all centralized material organization and central material Mother Church control. These deeds speak for Mrs. Eddy today. You and I cannot speak for her, but 10 of the 13 deeds of trust can and do speak for her. They show Mrs. Eddy's divine leadership in perceiving the danger looming for the Christian Science movement, the danger which has brought the movement to the brink of extinction, and how she circumvented this inexorable threat when she made obedience to the manual legally obligatory. Her deeds of trust will be upheld by the laws of the land. Her prophecy that the manual will be recognized as law by law will be vindicated, and the Christian Science movement will move into a glorious renaissance. Quote, "America, spiritually understood, will be seen as the outward evidence of man's individual oneness with God. America, in that sense, is not a nation defined by territorial boundaries, but is the spiritual idea of mind everywhere present. America typifies the yearning of the heart for spiritual reality." This is from Christian Science, its clear, correct teaching. But at this hour, as we stand in the valley of decision, recall Mrs. Eddy's grave warning that never was there a more solemn and imperious call than God makes to us all right here, for fervent devotion and absolute consecration to the greatest and holiest of all causes, namely, the revelation of man's divinity and the total unreality of evil. She saw the hour had struck. Humanity is today witnessing the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy to St. John in the book of Revelation, chapters 13 through 20, where the myriad illusions of mortal discord are uncovered and dealt with. Regarding these illusions and the universal hypnotic suggestions that seem to be in control, Mrs. Eddy writes, "The present apathy as to the tendency of certain active yet unseen mental agencies will finally be shocked into another extreme mortal mood, into human indignation." St. Paul comforts us with, "We know that in everything God works for good with those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose." How often have experiences that seemed harsh and cruel at the time eventuated in blessings that defy all human calculation? Think of the 102 pilgrims, over a third of them children, persecuted in their homeland, crowded into a small boat, 106 feet beak to stern, tossed on the wild and furious Atlantic for 66 days, thanking God for even the meager meals they were able to prepare, landing in the bitter cold of December, greeted by a frozen wilderness, uncertainty, half of them dying of cold and starvation their first winter. But what a blessing God poured out to humanity through their faithfulness. The experiences of the Revolutionary War, the terrible winter at Valley Forge, the long and arduous work of bringing forth the United States Constitution with its Bill of Rights. These were, in a certain way, all fraught with blessings infinite for the human race because of what these experiences and deeds led to. Columbus showed his divine motivation when he told Queen Isabella, "It was the Lord who put it into my mind. I could feel His hand upon me. The fact that the gospel must still be preached to so many lands in such a short time, this is what convinces me." Columbus showed obedience to Jesus' command, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." His desire was to give not only to those of his own persuasion, but to all mankind. He was familiar with the Master's teaching that all that the Father mind hath is mine, even if it's not visible at the moment. He glimpsed a universal sense of brotherhood. He responded with a desire to give out of the fullness of the kingdom of God that reigned within his consciousness. Columbus, the pilgrims, the writers of the Declaration of Independence, George Washington, the framers of the Constitution, Abraham Lincoln, and all other great leaders might not have known it, but since the infinite kingdom of God was within them, the entire Bible was also within their spiritual consciousness. This is true because, as we learn in Christian Science, there's only one mind, only one universal consciousness, and it is our own individual mind in which the Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's writings are embodied. The motive of these great leaders in their dedication to God was to be an instrument, a transparency through which God could work out His holy purpose. "He that is within me is greater than he that is in the world." And He is making of the receptive thought an instrument, a transparency for His purpose. We must have the willingness to be used, knowing that He performeth that which is given me to do. All action is God's action. Of mine own self I can do nothing, any more than the image in the mirror can of its own self do anything. "We glory in tribulations also," wrote St. Paul, "knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of God within our consciousness, which is given unto us. The pilgrims, the patriots who fought the Revolutionary War, the founding fathers, Abraham Lincoln with his Emancipation Proclamation, all abounded in a steadfast faith in the power of a divine providence to help them. They knew that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Their confidence and fidelity anchored them in living waters, which had great recompense of reward. Triumphing in truth and keeping the faith individually and collectively, we must overcome conflicting elements. If defeat seems to follow victory, we know that truth cannot be lost. If not admitted today in its fullness, the error that shuts it out will occasion such discord in sickness, sin, etc., that future ages will point it out and restore at length the fair proportions and radical claims of Christian Science." Unquote. With the dawning of the science of Christianity upon human thought, scientific religion is improving the morals of mankind. It is destroying sin, disease, and death. When divine love is understood as impartial and universal, it will form the coincidence of the human and divine, and bring to light the kingdom of God that is latent within your infinite, individual, spiritual consciousness. Christian Science is rousing the dormant understanding from material beliefs to the apprehension of spiritual ideas and the demonstration of divine science. This will continue until Spirit, God, is fully understood in millennial glory, and all humanity becomes aware of a new heaven and a new earth, where the tabernacle of the mind that is love is with men. Then shall we all know that the kingdom of God is our own mind, our own consciousness. Conclusion. By the year 1866, freedom-loving people from every nation on earth had flooded into the United States to seek a new life and a new beginning. It was in this open-minded, heroic composite of nationalities that Mary Baker Eddy's epoch-making discovery, set forth in Science and Health, could first be founded and subsequently fulfill the scriptural prophecy, "And the leaves of the tree, Science and Health, were for the healing of the nations, for the healing of the universal hypnotic suggestion that man is a mortal instead of a divine being." This healing message quickly spread to the remotest parts of the earth. It is destined to bring all men into a knowledge of the true God, uniting them in one common brotherhood. At present, we know not what we are, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He, understanding, shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall be the Christ, for we shall understand ourselves as we are, having the kingdom of God within our spiritual consciousness. From this individual, infinite consciousness flows every good thing, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty to be what we already divinely are and always have been and always will be. Cecil B. DeMille tells of an experience that illustrates this liberty. He relates how, while in a canoe in shallow water, he glanced down and saw the bottom of the lake covered with water bugs, nymphs. One of the bugs came to the surface and climbed to the top of the canoe, where it died. Its shell became dry and brittle, and suddenly it split open, and from this dry shell emerged a beautiful dragonfly. It immediately took to the air, and within seconds flew further than it, as a water bug, had crawled during its entire lifespan. As the dragonfly came back and hovered over the water, casting its shadow over its former dwelling place, the water bugs below may have seen its shadow, but gave no sign of recognition of the dragonfly's existence. Unknown and incomprehensible to them was the boundless divine atmosphere of the world above. They were still blinded by the universal hypnotic spell of being just material, finite water bugs, completely unconscious of the unlimited capacity and freedom awaiting them. Apropos of DeMille's observation of the water bug's experience, Mrs. Eddy asks, "When will mankind awake to know their present ownership of all good?" As we stand on the threshold of another new century, it is comforting to remember that in 1901, Mrs. Eddy saw this 20th century as God-crowned. In her poem, The New Century, she speaks prophetically of the 21st century. Thou God-crowned, patient century, thine hour hath come. Eternity draws nigh, and beckoning from above, 100 years aflame with love again shall bid old earth goodbye. And lo, the light, far heaven is nigh. New themes, seraphic, life divine and bliss that wipes the tears of time away, will enter, when they may, and bask in one eternal day. 'Tis writ on earth, on leaf and flower, love hath one race, one realm, one power. Dear God, how great, how good thou art to heal humanity's sore heart, to probe the wound, then pour the balm, a life perfected, strong and calm. The dark domain of pain and sin surrenders, love doth enter in, and peace is won and lost is vice. Right reigns, and blood was not its price.
In closing, we can safely say that future generations will recognize Mary Baker Eddy is not only the leader of Christian scientists, but the spiritual leader of the world.